Reformed Church.
When the Lord is angry at you in your mind, or when he's tapping his foot and be like, man, you failed me again with that thing, nobody wants to approach that. Not because you think God is evil, but because you think that you can't measure up to how good he is. My problem when I was younger was never that I thought God was evil. Is I thought God was so good, but, of course, I was missing a lot of that, but even the goodness of God I knew of, I would tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to spend time with you because I'm going to spare you from me because I can't do right by you. All the stuff you want me to do that is I recognize is holy and just and good, if it rings a bell, Romans 7, I just can't find it in me to do it. So I'm going to spare you from this marriage, from this relationship of me constantly failing your standard, dot, 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 blah, 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 blah. And then you found that that wasn't his standard the whole time. That was the standard of the law given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. Why would he say Moses and not Jesus? Even though Christians quote those commandments as at some point, somehow, being from Jesus. That's not the new covenant. He separates. The law was given through Moses. Those are the rule and regulation that you're so scared of, that are so unappealing. And of course they should be, because you can't keep them, despite them being holy and just and good. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth meaning the reality of what the law was only a representation of. And that's where I was. I was at a point where I was like, you know, Lord, all these standards I can't keep, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't realize the grace of God. I didn't realize the standard that he has for me now has been brought so low to where the Bible, so low, I should say, that the Bible says that his commandments are not burdensome, and this is why, because 1 John says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, which of course produces a love for your neighbor, but that's just the second one. The thing that God wants you to do is to believe in what Jesus did for you. And see, that doesn't keep people away. If you know that, Lord, all you want from me is to know what you did for me, to find out what you did for me so that I can rest, so I can be alleviated of the burden, so I can be alleviated of the work. I mean real work, right? Not like figurative work, real work. So I can be relieved of those things, and your spirit can do the things through me that I couldn't do for myself. And you see the love of God demonstrated toward you in all these things and showing that God is not in heaven tapping his foot at you as if you failed his standard. Because those standards that you think you're failing of, you know, I lived immorally, and I've done this, and I've said that, and I've looked at this, and I've been with this person, and all that stuff, that were standards under the old covenant, which he's not holding you to right now, because instead of requiring it from you, he wants you to come to him, rest from it, and he gives you the morality you need, and works it through you all by himself, if you just learn about what he gave. That's it. That's it. That's all he wants. Learn about what he gave for you. The Bible calls the gospel the message of the cross. The cross is not what you did for him. The cross is what he did for you. You didn't do anything for Jesus at the cross. He did something for you at the cross. So taking that equation, you realize, what does that equal? It means the gospel is about what Jesus did for you. That's what the gospel is. And again, for as long though as you think that God has all these expectations, and of course we judge God by the people we've been exposed to in our past, the Christians even that we've been exposed to in our past. And unfortunately, and just so you know, you can't do this. You cannot do this. God is not your old pastor. God is not your parents. God is not those people. Even if they are Christians, he's still not those people. And while we are ambassadors for Christ, it does not mean that every single thing that Christians do represent the Lord. But we take what people have told us, and because parents have been disappointed in us, and this person has been disappointed in the way that we're living, and this person's mad at me, and I think this person's hostile to me because I made the wrong decision. And God is not those people. Even if they're his kids, God is not those people. Don't project your view of people's disappointment in you or people's standards that you're supposedly failing on God. Because what you end up doing is, if you perceive God wrongly, it will keep you away. Not God, your perception of God will keep you away. A perception of an angry God, a perception of a disappointed God because you have failed his standard. And you say, well, how can God not be disappointed? I've done so many things that are wrong. Disappointment means like you failed his expectations. But what if God never had those expectations of you? What if those expectations were what the law expected, which God never did? He actually gave them to prove that you couldn't keep it. And so, can God be disappointed in you? Is he disappointed in my immorality and the way that I've lived and all these different things? Well, he wasn't expecting you could live up to those things to begin with. So just believe. Only believe. Only believe in what he's done for you. But again, as long as you project all this stuff in your head, even in small ways that you don't even realize you're doing it, if you just picture the face of God and you kind of think of him like you kind of let me down. I'm so good. I'm so loving. I'm so awesome. And you're just, you're the disappointment. You're the black sheep. If that's what you think, it'll keep you away from God. You won't spend time with him. You won't talk to him. And if you do, you're fed up with it quick because it's such a burden to spend time with someone that has a standard in your mind that you can't live up to. And all of it's not true. It's a make-believe God that you have in your head, and God actually wants to preach peace to you. Peace, meaning I'm totally at peace with you. There's no beef between me and you at all. Not because we've never done anything wrong, but because he fixed all of it. I impute it to my son, me and Jesus, in cahoots, working together, got rid of this stuff for you so you could join us in what we have and never have to think about, did I do that thing that failed God's standard ever again? You can just come to me and talk and receive. I'm going to remember your sin no more. In fact, I just blotted all the record of you ever having done anything wrong ever off the books entirely. Sin blotted out, it's been imputed, it's done. Even for unbelievers who haven't received the forgiveness or the blotting out of the record of their sin yet, God is not even imputing their sin to them, meaning it's not counting it against them. Their debt to pay him for their sin is done. Paid for, I'm not imputing it. I just want to preach peace to you. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through what he did, God has reconciled people to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? He actually explains what the ministry of reconciliation is, but to give you the punchline, it just means to tell everybody that God's at peace with you. He reconciled you to himself already. He wants to be friends with you. God is not your enemy. God wants to be your friend, but you got to receive that, though. He's at peace with you. How many times are you hearing that in church? God's at peace with you. No, not at peace with you because you're just such a nice person. I wish you would get saved, right? You're such a great person. I wish that person would get saved. Someone was so nice to me. Oh, I wish that they were my brother and sister in Christ. No, I'm not talking about the person that somehow proves themselves to God. I'm talking about the person that never cared about God ever in their life and does everything wrong, and because that was all of us. God wants to be your friend, and he's extended this peace to you so you can just come to him and receive, and he's not going to count anything you've ever done wrong against you. We're not in the business at this church of just seeking out the things that sound the best to people. We just looked at the Bible, and we sought the Lord for ourselves, and we just found out that this was a whole lot better than we thought it was. We're getting people up to date on what Jesus already did. And that's why in verse 19, 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, to wit, or means that is, even as. Remember, he was talking about the ministry of reconciliation and how we're ministers of this reconciliation. He says, that is, in other words, here's the ministry, that God was in Christ. This is what we're telling people. This is what God's called you to preach to other people, and the ministry, the message he wants you to accept for yourself, that God was in Christ. God was the one working in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And now he's committed unto us this word of reconciliation to tell other people that God is not imputing your sin to you. He's not imputing your sin to you. And that's what you can tell someone unequivocally. Your sins have been paid for. It's done. It's finished. God has made peace with you. And he didn't have to. That's the beautiful thing about this. He didn't have to. Nobody made him do that. He just wanted peace with you. That's the beautiful thing about it. He did not have to do that. He did it because he wanted to. Your sin didn't kill Jesus. His love did. No, your sin could not, you could have sinned, and that could not have made him do what he did. It wasn't God demonstrates his obligation in that Christ died for your sins. He demonstrates his love It was a voluntary choice that he made to save you and to provide these things to you and to make peace with you. God's at peace with you, and he's not just at peace with you, he's at peace with the whole world today. The difference between you and the world is that you've received it and the benefits, and now you have mutual peace with God. The whole relationship has been knit together now. We've now received the reconciliation. Jesus makes you close with God as a believer. Now, the world is not close with God, but it's not because he hasn't offered the closeness. He's offered the peace. They just have to accept it. It's their end. It's what they're not receiving that prohibits them from being close. The Bible says they're alienated from the life of God, being enemies with God in their mind. But that they're enemies with God because they don't receive it. Being alienated themselves to the life of God. But it's not because God didn't do what he did for them and on his end has not made peace with them and on his end has not reconciled them to himself. Remember the grace of God to you, that he wants to give you rest, that he's at peace with you. He expects nothing from you. He wants to work all these things through you in your life. Remember the grace of God, and that he's not, especially as a Christian, that he's not even looking at your works. He's blotted out the remembrance of the things from around him in heaven, that the thing you did is even a sin against him. Push all that to the side, and just you and me now, and let's talk about what I did for you. Let's move all that aside. I was shocked, literally shocked, when I was younger, when I started learning this stuff, and I would do something wrong, and I started learning from the Lord, and the Lord would just keep, I was learning something from the Bible, and then I would do something wrong, and I would go to talk to him again, and I would start trying to explain myself, and when I started feeling like I was hearing from God for myself, he started talking to me about the thing he was just talking to me about before, and that honestly shocked me. I was so surprised that I was trying to explain myself to him because I wanted to do penance, which, just so you know, is code for what Jesus already did, okay? In case you're wondering, if you're of a sect or a religion that talks about penance, okay, or having to pay in any such way, whether you call it payment or not, that's just code for what Jesus already did. That's code for repeating the work of Christ and his sufferings at the cross for your sin. So, but I thought I didn't call it penance, but that's what I was doing. At least let me explain myself, Lord. At least let me say sorry. At least let me tell you how bad I feel about it. And he was talking to me like I didn't even just do what I just did. You know why? Because he already talked to Jesus about this, what I did. And between the two of them, they had that paid for. And now we're on to bigger and better things now. I'm not saying God doesn't know that sin exists. I'm just saying that it's paid for. I'm not saying he doesn't know that sin exists. I'm saying that he doesn't remember them anymore, meaning that he's blotted out the remembrance of these things before him because it's been taken care of. God doesn't check things off his to-do list until they're done. And if he's wiped your sin out of the record, it's because it's done. He's not one of them that check it off the list because I'm going to get around to it. He got around to it. It's checked off the list. It was paid for it. Let's talk now about what I did for you and how good you have it through me now. Let's get on to those things. If you see a God that has that attitude toward you and that loves you that much, it's going to entice you to get to know him more.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.